Our next guest is a familiar voice to public radio listeners. For decades, Ira Flatow has been covering the world of science for NPR, all the while making it fun and accessible. He served as NPR science correspondent and is now best known as the host of Science Friday.
He's in the state this week for the Wisconsin Science Festival. He's a featured speaker tonight at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery. He'll be broadcasting Science Friday from there tomorrow.
Ira Flatow joins us in the studio now. Ira, welcome to Central Time.
So nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, as we said, you're here in Madison for the Wisconsin Science Festival, and we checked out your keynote talk. You're going to be talking about science is sexy.
Yes.
So how about it? Why is science sexy?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What TV show are you going to watch on Sunday that the rest of the country is going to stay glued to at the same time?
Is there a Packers game?
Hey, after the game. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. You a Breaking Bad fan? Breaking Bad has its last episode this Sunday. And the star of Breaking Bad, or the person, is a chemistry teacher. He's a chemistry teacher. The number one, the highest rated show ever on cable television features a chemistry teacher as its lead character.
I have to admit, I haven't seen that one. I've been reading all of the commentary on it. I don't have access to it yet. But does Breaking Bad make chemistry cool? Do they actually get into the chemistry?
They get it. They actually have someone who is a scientist who makes sure that the chemicals, the equations that they do and the chemistry that they do is very accurate. And the most popular show on CBS, comedy, which show is that? You know what that is?
Oh, I have a hint about this one. Bang Theory.
That's right. So now we have the two most popular shows that have to do with science as a theme. Physics and, you know, physics geeks in the Big Bang Theory. And I was very happy that I was on the Big Bang Theory for an episode. Sheldon was on Science Friday once. And Breaking Bad, which is the most popular show on all of cable. So you have cable, you have a standard network television with science themes in them. Science is actually sexy. People are putting science in the media. When shows that have to make money, and we follow the money all the time, decide that they'll make more money by putting science as a theme, or at least part of it. To me, science is coming back. It may not. Studies are showing that people are not learning their science in school anymore. The majority of people learn their science in informal science education, whether it's on Science Friday or on these TV shows, or they go to the museum and they go to the zoo, they go to the science center, and they're going there in droves. They cannot get enough science.
Well, I guess a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, and that's part of it. It is great to get your science in Breaking Bad. But since we mentioned Big Bang Theory, we happen to have pulled a clip where guess who is guest starring on it. It's you, and a little setup here. There we have Sheldon in a room. He's being interviewed by you for the show, and one of his fellows plays a prank on him and fills the room with a certain gas. Let's take a listen.
This is Ira Flatow, and you're listening to NPR's Science Friday. Joining us today by phone from his office in Pasadena, California, is Dr. Sheldon Cooper.
Oh, this is going to be a riot.
Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Cooper.
My pleasure, Ira.
Now let's talk about magnetic monopoles. Can you explain to our audience just what a monopole is?
Of course. First, consider an ordinary magnet, which has, as even the most uneducated in your audience must know, two poles. North and south pole. If you cut that in half, you have two smaller magnets, each with its own north and south pole.
Dr. Cooper, I think there might be something wrong with our connection.
No, I hear you fine.
I love that clip, and I've heard it three times today.
Yeah, well, it's good. I know it's on, and people stop me on the street and say, I've seen the rerun. You know?
Yeah.
And I actually went out to the set a couple of weeks ago. We were out in California, and I visited them, watching them record. We're actually doing the walkthrough of the Big Bang Theory, and they were very nice. And the writers who were responsible for the dialogue and whatever were coming over to me to pitch story ideas for Science Friday. Hey, did you know about this? They're actually, because they come up with story ideas for the show, they're very well immersed in it.
And that's how you know science is coming back, as you said.
Yes, well, you know, it's coming back in a lot of different ways. You have the science festival here in town. There are at least a dozen other ones around the country where there never used to be any. The first one was started in Cambridge a few 3 years ago, and it caught on. And they're in cities and towns all over the world. People love the science festivals. They go to these things called maker fairs. You know, Maker Faire.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are tens of thousands of people come out on weekends and they watch other people make their inventions. You know, I think the spread of the 3D printer got started at Maker Faires. Right?
Well, isn't it interesting that people are doing it themselves now? I mean, maybe we used to feel like it was something that had to be done by someone with a white coat in a lab in a hermetically sealed place and a, you know, pocket protector was probably involved.
But I have one for you, the Science Friday logo, if you'd like one.
Yeah. Of course I'd like one. Yeah, but now it seems like people are doing it in their garages and teaming up with people online to solve problems and use groupthink. I mean, why do you think this is happening now? What forces came together?
Well, I think the internet made it possible. I mean, the crowdsourcing stuff. People are being, they're citizen science, as you refer to them, they're called citizen scientists, and they're being asked to solve problems. For example, there's something called protein folding. A protein, for it to operate correctly, is actually folded up, and it has to unfold and fold itself back. If it doesn't fold itself back, that's what may cause some illnesses. So they want to figure out how a protein folds. It's actually a three-dimensional object. And even though we have all these supercomputers, the human brain is still the best at looking at, you know, rotating objects in your mind and making, we are still the best at that. So what they have done now is crowdsource protein folding. They'll ask the public, we have this protein, can you figure out how it folds, and put it on a website, and they'll get you know, like 100,000 people to look at it. And I remember there were up to 70,000 at one point, 70,000 people looking at this, and they came to us and they said, you have a lot of people on Science Friday, can you just say we need a few more people to look at this? And we gave them 30,000 more people. And they went in and they solved this protein folding problem.
Wow.
In this case. So I think the internet has brought everybody together and shown that you know, citizens can be scientists and do all kinds of stuff.
And the scientific community is okay with this. They're saying hands off.
No.
This is, you know, for us only. They welcome this.
You know, they do it not just with proteins, but there have been galaxies and things. You know how boring it is to look through a star chart of just little white dots on all these negatives that come out of telescopes. So they themselves, I think, are surprised of how much time people will take to just look at these boring charts and find something that's out there that they have never discovered before.
Now, are these people, these citizen scientists, are they trained at all? Or is this something that, you know, they just got an aptitude, they're interested, and so they just take
a swing
at it?
They'll train you for what you need to know. If you know, it's not hard to look at two slides and see if a dot has moved on it from one place to another to see if something is moving out in the stars. But there is a debate going on as we speak about how much training should we give, you know, people to crowdsource this information? Question of, can it be politicized? What if the politics gets involved and people start to skew the data because they want it to show something? So it's now in its infancy, but, you know, citizen science is here. And people, everything from going out looking at leaves to discovering new species
And Science Friday is part of that right now. I mean, you've talked about so many interesting things recently on the show. You've talked about volcanoes and talked about going beyond the solar system for the first time. How does it feel to be at the cusp of what seems to be, you know, something that's really exciting and cool happening in our culture, this reawakening of science nerds?
Yeah, we're very happy to be there. You know, we've been doing this for 22 years now. And so we've watched the evolution of the interest. We've watched the evolution of science. We've watched the evolution of evolution and how it's played out in the public. We always knew that science, the public loved science. All the studies you show that the public loves science. They may not know what a scientist does, and most of them don't when you look at the studies, but they know that they love science and they know that science and technology is very important to them. If you just give them the opportunity to hear about it, they will flock in droves to you. We have, of all the public radio shows on all the public radio stations, Science Friday has the largest social community of anybody. You know, we have 400,000 Twitter members. We have over 100,000, you know, Facebook members. Not somebody's individual tweets, but the show itself. We have the highest rated, the highest number of members in all of public radio. It's because people love the stuff. We don't make them love the stuff. Everybody starts out inherently as a scientist. All kids, when they're little, they're all scientists. You know, when you take a Pop-Tart and you want to stick it in the VCR, you know, because it looks like it should fit in there or something, you are trying an experiment, right?
I think my kids have done that.
Yes, you're trying an experiment, and we have to find a way of channeling that inquisitiveness and creativity so that kids don't lose it, or we don't make them lose it when they get into school.
Now, I got to call you out. I think you're being a little modest there. You said people love science. I'm not going to challenge you on that. But I think there is something special that Science Friday does, and that is you take these concepts, which can be kind of mind-blowing and cause right. the human brain to just shut down out of fear, and you make it accessible.
Well, I think what we don't do is we're not condescending. We don't tell you you're just not smart enough to understand this thing. We're going to find a way that if I can understand it and I can explain it to my producer or someone else, if I can understand it enough, you are smart enough, because I'm certainly not smart enough. And if I can understand it, you can understand it. It's just finding a way of explaining it the right way, because there's not a lot of complicated stuff that goes on here. You have to pull away a little bit of the layers to find the simple part. But basically, people are looking and answering the questions that we've all asked, that theologians and philosophers have asked. Where did we come from and where are we going? And science is that way to find out.
Well, we're talking right now with Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday on NPR. He's in town for the Wisconsin Science Festival. They'll be doing a live broadcast tomorrow, by the way, here in Madison. And we've got details about the keynote speech and that live broadcast on the Central Time Facebook page.
And if you have a question for Ira Flatow, give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We'll pick up the discussion right after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.